Gospel Solutions for Families is a program brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Husbands and wives have a solemn responsibility to love and care for each other and for their children. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Parents have a sacred duty to rear their children in love and righteousness.
We welcome you to the Mormon Channel. Today we are talking about gospel solutions for family. My name is Matthew O. Richardson. I'm second counselor in the Sunday School General Presidency. And today I'm joined with two of my good friends. And I'm so excited about this. Sister Jean A. Stevens, first counselor in the General Primary Presidency. And Cheryl A. Esplin, second counselor in the Primary General Presidency. Welcome to you today.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Oh, I think this is going to be great. We're going to talk about worshiping with children, and we'd like to focus on worshiping in church settings. And so we have two of the church's foremost experts on children and how to be able to have a meaningful worship experience. And so that's why I am so excited, is I want to learn from the experts.
I'm not sure we're experts at it, but we do love children, and so we're happy to share our own experiences as well as feelings in our own hearts about that topic of worshiping with children.
You know, this is a good point, Sister Stevens, is I think sometimes in the church we think that a calling or a circumstance makes us an expert. But in truth, I like what you say, is that in truth, the expertise sometimes comes from being in the trenches and figuring things out from our own experiences, praying for guidance, direction. Sometimes, at least in my own experience, it's been through trial and error. Would you say that that's correct?
Very definitely.
Oh, yes. In fact, I'd like to go back sometimes and start over with what I see young people doing today. And I think, oh, I wish I had thought more about that. And then I think the more we grow in the gospel, the more mature we become, the more we see with different eyes.
That's a good point. Excellent point. I think that sometimes in building upon that, we are ever learning. We see new ways to do things. And at the same token, I think that there are young families. I look at my own children. I have two married children. My son, who has two children, constantly asking, Mom, Dad, what can we do better in this way? And so there are some elements I look at young families or other families where they are desperately asking, or maybe they don't even dare ask, but they're seeking help and ideas. How can we improve? And so that's what we'd like to explore, is the principle of worshiping with families and maybe talking about some of the practices to help individuals to make that experience more meaningful for both children, for families, for a ward, for example. And so I'm excited to hear of your thoughts on this.
You know, one thing that comes to mind, Brother Richardson, is that the Lord, as you see his interactions when he was on the earth, and as we read in the scriptures, it wasn't like, well, he was there to teach and talk to the adults only. Probably his most tender interactions came with children, and they were an important focus in his life, and they are capable of worshiping, and he wants them to and include them in that process. And so I think we have to start first thinking, okay, this isn't an experience just for adults. This is directed at children, and they can worship and beautifully do so in church.
I like that. They are capable of worshiping and should be worshiping. Perhaps we have to combine those two. As you were speaking, I was thinking of the Savior with an experience where he says in Matthew chapter 18, and in verse 10, I think this was good advice then, excellent advice today. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. And I think sometimes we get into an experience where we think church worship, we think of meetings, is something we check off, a duty experience, and we forget the worship. And here he says, look, don't think of children getting in the way of our worship. Don't despise those children. Embrace them, welcome them, encourage them in our process. I think it's just as much for us as it is for them.
Yes. And you know, too, I think our example is one of the major ways we can help children learn the proper ways to worship. But I also think that we need to plan ways to teach them. And when we go into these meetings to think ahead. Sometimes we are so busy and we run into meetings and it's just a routine instead of thinking about, this is an opportunity to worship. This is an opportunity to draw closer to God.
Good.
This is an opportunity to feel of His Spirit.
You know, that's an easy thing to say, and it's an important thing to say. We shift our mindset to worship. I mean, I look around in sacrament meeting. I'm sure you've had this experience, and so many of us are actually preparing for the next meeting. People are going through manuals. They're going through things. People on the stand are actually looking through their notes for their talks. And I've often caught my own experiences reflecting on that is, wait, I'm here to worship. And how do I do that? And I love what you say about example. Let's talk about that, or let me pick your minds on that. In what ways can parents then be an example in worship settings? What does that mean? Okay, we should be an example. That's what we'll say. But what are some ideas on that? What do you think about that? Or what has been your experience or observations is how might parents be an example of worshiping, preparing for worship in these church settings?
I think first you think of, okay, what do you do before you actually even get to the church? Do you prepare your heart and the things you need for church so that you're not just rushing in at the last minute and you're arriving late, you know, or something like that? Because it makes it hard to really get into the spirit of what you're doing if you feel kind of nervous or panicky. And sometimes it often ends up with, I just remember when I had five little ones and I was trying to get them all to church. If you don't prepare ahead, you often arrive kind of upset and kind of ticked and mad because you're like, oh, get your shoes on. Come on, we got to get in the car. Get the seatbelts on, you know. And by the time you get there, you're just like all flustered and not in the best worshipful state yourself in your own heart. And when we do that, we kind of shortchange what the experience can be for us and for our children because they kind of arrive feeling like, oh, things didn't go so well this morning and a little, you know, upset and frazzled and they don't arrive with a peaceful feeling of like, we are coming here to worship the Lord.
That's an excellent point. As a matter of fact, sometimes I think in my own experience, I just felt it was a victory to get there on time or reasonably on time and dressed, or at least half dressed, partially dressed.
Oh, I agree.
Two shoes on 2 feet. That would be a great goal, but
not every
so
week
much
is
of it
perfect.
Is, yeah, and it's just so much attitude, so much that preparation and, you know, Saturday, it has to begin on Saturday. You can't just usually get up on Sunday morning and think, okay, let's make this work, because it's our preparation even before on Saturday.
Good point. I like how you push the clock back a little bit, and this is a simple thing. At least it was a simple thing in our family. And my wife, she led the charge on this so wonderfully, is pushing the clock back earlier on Sunday so we get up a little bit earlier to be able to take care of those things so we have a little bit more time prior to. And I think that's a simple way to look at it is, wait a second, if church starts at 9, we need to set our clock back a little bit and we start a little bit earlier so that we can be prepared for worship.
I think of that old primary song, Saturday is a special day. It's the day to get ready for Sunday, you know. We don't sing that very much anymore, but maybe that could help remind us our preparation needs to start earlier.
It's good. That's good. Other thoughts on what we might do, example, perhaps while we're in the meetings themselves or in our worship, that parents might do to help children to foster the spirit of worship through their example?
You know, I'm thinking, I have a neighbor that whenever I call her on the phone, I hear soft, beautiful music playing in the background. And it's amazing what an effect that has on me, even over a telephone.
Oh.
Just to hear that music in her home, I can feel a softening, if you will, just kind of even a physical change that just causes me to calm. And I think music has such a vital part in worship, both at home and when we come to our meetings. And if we can get there early enough to hear a prelude and to calm ourselves and just escape from the world.
That's good. I like that. That's excellent. Other thoughts? We're sitting in sacrament meeting, let's say, and so here you are on the pew and you have your children there. What should parents be doing? Meeting's getting ready to start. Hopefully we've been there on time, made preparations, and now what happens?
Well, I think there's a lot of ways that we can help our children to connect with what's going on in the meeting. Of course, when they're very young, you know, there's different levels of their age and maturity that kind of directs what we do. And I think, as in most everything, you really have to be prayerful and seek the Lord's inspiration on what will work for your children and your family. And there's no one right way to have them, you know, be prepared to worship. But the goal is to really engage them in the meeting, not just keep them entertained so that, you know, they're quiet. But really, as you work towards that, helping them to really worship themselves so that they understand and have a feeling about what's going on. We see in primary all the time children who really feel the Spirit. And it's not just a matter of, well, we'll keep them entertained so that they don't bother anyone, but really trying to engage them so that they begin to feel something while they're there.
You know, I think that this is an excellent point that you're bringing up, and this is where we really get the traction. In rather than just keeping children quiet or entertained or keep them busy, I really like what you're saying here, is finding ways to engage them in the process of worship themselves. That is critical.
Yeah, for example, I have seen parents that will sit with children and open the book and point to words in the song so the children can follow along in a song and sing.
I have a granddaughter who just this last Sunday was sitting with us, and she literally leads the music with the chorister. And she does that with great vigor and enthusiasm. And I thought, maybe we should, you know, constrain her a little bit and say, no. And then I thought, actually, it is so nice to see this. She's 3 years old, but she is so engaged in the hymns. She loves the hymns. And I thought, if that's what it takes, whether it's finger going by word, mimicking the chorister to be part of it, whatever it is, she was fully engaged. It was really quite wonderful.
You know, we teach hymns now in primary. In our sharing time outline, there are hymns that are part of this learning music for the children. And you can just see little children, when they know one of these hymns that they've learned in primary, you can just see it on their faces. They just have this excitement, and they perk right up and join in.
Last Sunday, I was on a training assignment in Washington, the state of Washington, in the Seattle area. And I had been in primary in the morning, and the children had been learning the first and third verses to Praise to the Man. Now, that is a wonderful hymn of the Restoration, but the words are quite difficult for children to understand, a lot of them. So they were helping them learn it and understand the meaning of the words. And they were singing beautifully in primary. When we got to sacrament meeting, I was up on the stand, and they had arranged a special musical number that was a mother and her daughter in the ward. They came up and sang Praise to the Man. And children who previously were just, you know, slouching a little bit or leaning on a parent or whatever, it was incredible to see how they all of a sudden were totally engaged.
Oh, wow.
They sat up, their eyes bright. They were really connecting with the music. They knew it themselves, and it was incredible to see the change in their demeanor.
Oh, that's great. What a nice experience. You are listening to The Mormon Channel. We are talking today about gospel solutions for families. And today we are joined with Jean A. Stevens and Cheryl A. Esplin, members of the Primary General Presidency. I'm Matthew Richardson, second counselor in the Sunday School General Presidency, and we're talking about worshiping with children in church. And we've had some great conversations, and I love your experiences of ways to engage children within worship. I was thinking about how they do this within music, and the thought came to me as you were talking, well, if we want children to be singing and engaging, we as adults should be singing as well. I had an experience where I was in a sacrament meeting on a visit in a different part of the world, and I looked at a pew in a sacrament meeting, and there were all the children, and some were teenagers, some were primary aged. I mean, they had the whole range of stages there. And the children were all slumped over, and they had their foreheads on their fists in their lap. And I just went down the row, one to the next, all in the same position. And then when we got to the parents, Dad was in that same position. And I thought, you know, maybe the acorn really doesn't fall too far from the tree. And so here, families, parents weren't engaged in the worship process. And so I thought, well, maybe why would we expect the children? you know. And I think of Doctrine and Covenants section 68, where parenting in Zion, parents have a responsibility to teach their children and help them learn the principles of gospel. And that's why we go to church.
And in a joyful way.
Oh, good point.
To have, you know, to have children, have it be a joyful experience and not just something that they have to do. Because worshiping is joyful. When we feel the Spirit, when we feel closer to God, there's nothing that compares with that feeling.
I love the thought, we first teach what we are. So, you know, if we want our children to experience worshiping on Sunday in a happy, joyful way, we have to feel that way ourselves. And if we want them to be engaged in the meeting, we need to be that way ourselves too. Not, as you mentioned, looking through manuals ourselves, you know,
right,
or doing things like that that take your attention and focus away from what's going on in the meeting. We have to be participating actively ourselves, even if it's our own minds and hearts, in order to really worship in the way that I think the Lord hopes we will.
That's nice.
And to not just focus on rules of what we shouldn't do, but opportunities that we have in a worship service, especially during the sacrament.
Well, like what, for example? Opportunities, like what?
You know, like, I just think if maybe we would take more time at home to teach our children about the sacrament, what it really is, talk about the Savior's atonement, what he did for us, and maybe just take those prayers at home and go through them and talk about the words and the meaning and how it applies to us in our lives. And then open the children's books to their scriptures and let them follow through on the sacrament prayer as it's being said.
Oh, that's good.
I just think these kinds of things, where that here we get, come back again to them being engaged.
Right. I couldn't help but think of one of my favorite experiences with my children growing up and now with my grandchildren is during the sacrament experience. My children, the youngest ones, would always come and get close to me. And we had talked previously about the sacrament was a time where we're making promises. We are making promises and we receive blessings. And they would always take their hand and they would put their hand in my hands. And then as the sacrament prayer would go along, every time a promise would come up, I would take one of their little fingers and pull a finger up and we would go through. And then when we were done, they would say, oh, four promises in the bread. And
see,
and
that's beautiful.
Oh, it was
I
so
love
fun.
That.
And so
I
we
love
would do that.
That
every, so that's that was the legacy. And now I was sitting there with my granddaughter at church just this last Sunday, and she snuggles over close, and she just knows she puts her hand in my hands. And as we go through the prayer, I don't think that that's not being reverential, but it was as those would come through, and sometimes she'll do it to my fingers, and my children would, and make that an engaging experience of this is what sacrament is.
We I
are
love
promising.
That.
It's really a fun thing.
That's a beautiful,
wonderful
idea
for helping children to really.
And the sacrament will be a sacred, treasured time for them. It won't be this rule, sit up straight and fold your arms and don't say anything. It will be a pleasant experience and a pleasant thought.
We hope.
And as they, and when you mentioned they got closer to you, that feeling of love is so important for us to foster in our Sunday worship so that children feel our love as well as our Heavenly Father's and the Savior's love.
Such a good point. Okay, now I imagine there are some of our listeners who are saying, this is so great, but help me out. Is there are times where I can't even hear myself think I am trying hard and we're sitting in sacrament, and this is embarrassing. My kids are jumping up and down. This is a crazy time. I don't know if I should take them out, if I should leave them in. I'm trying to be a good example. Well, it's like I have Laman and Lemuel for children now, and they're pulling and they're complaining. What type of advice or suggestions would you give to someone in a situation like that? Someone that's just saying, I need some help just to be able to calm the tide a little bit, to find a meaningful way. What are some things that could help families in this process with younger, especially younger children who are learning to sit still? Because it's not easy
Mm-mm.
to sit still.
Definitely.
Or even to sit.
I've mm-hmm. been there.
Yeah. One idea that comes to my mind is with smaller children is perhaps someone is giving a talk and you're hoping that you could hear it, but also to direct children's attention by saying something like, can you see that man? It's John's dad. Do you remember John's
really
dad?
Good.
What's he talking about? He is teaching us about temples. do you know where the temple is? You know, and just trying to direct their attention. And it can be done with just a few words in a quiet, you know, you would be whispering. You wouldn't be talking out loud so as to disturb others. But in a few whispers, trying to help children connect with what's going
on.
Or to
idea.
Say, oh, he's telling us about the story of Abinadi. Do you remember? We've read about Abinadi. Do you remember him? You know, and just try to help children with a few words connect with what is being said.
That's great.
And I think older children can be useful. You know, to put a younger child with an older child. I know when I was a child, we had 9 children, and I was one of the oldest, and I always had one of the little ones next to me. My mother always, you know, made me kind of responsible for one of the smaller ones.
What a great idea. That is super. My wife taught me something that was not intuitive to me, but has worked out well, is her philosophy was move up front. And I thought, no, we should retreat when we have a noisy family. We should move to the rear so we don't disturb others. And we talked about this and counseled about this. She says, no, let's move up closer and let's move inside it rather than on the outskirts so that our children can be engaged to connect with things like you're talking about. And I thought, wow, and that took a lot of courage for me to say, let's try this. But actually, it has worked well over the years is to always move up front so that they can be part of the program.
One of the things that comes to my mind is, as I was there myself once during life and now looking at others around us in the ward, sometimes there's young moms there with all their children sitting by themselves and their husbands up on the stand, and they're feeling like, oh, how do right. I manage? How do I do this? Sitting up front really helps because they can see their father and they can be a part of, you know, seeing him as he's presiding or whatever. And it helps children to be more engaged, too, when they can see their parents. And also, I think sometimes we have to enlist the help of others. If you're by yourself and you need, whether you're a single mom or whatever, you may need some more help. And if you sit by a family who has a teenage daughter who's willing to help you, or a family, sometimes there's grandmas in the ward who absolutely love sitting next to a family who needs an extra pair of hands and an extra heart to love, you know, that will help families be able to help their children.
That's such a good
worship.
Point. Such a good point.
And another idea, I remember one of the hardest things for me as a young mother, when I took my children out, if I ever put them down and just let them run and run and run and just have a good time, then it seemed like I was taking them out more. But when I would take them out and tried to hold them in my arms and have them sit on my lap out there, then I think it helps. They don't think they're going to run out and run around.
That's a good point. Let me ask you this from seasoned experts. When is there a good rule of thumb? When is a good time to decide when to take young children out of a meeting or to leave them in? Is there any good advice on that? I look at some individuals and they seem to be struggling of where's the point where we should take out? Some will say, no, we should never do that. And some will say, oh, the first time that they actually get off the bench, they're out. You know, any thoughts on that?
I don't know that there's a set rule, but
I think you don't want to disturb the entire meeting so that people are, you know, interrupted in their ability to be able to worship. But I also think there's a fine balance, and I don't know that anybody can say this is when you take them. It really, you need the Lord's help and inspiration, I think, to know, okay, this is beyond what could be in a sacrament meeting and still maintain a reverent, worshipful feeling.
You know, I really like that. As a matter of fact, it comes back to one of the earlier comments, is you need the Lord's guidance on this one. And in many cases, I think parents are so worried about what others are thinking. They're embarrassed about their own experience. They may be frustrated with their own children. And maybe the last thought they're thinking of is turning to prayer and saying, how's the best way to handle this? Is this the time? Another part that I've learned from you in our conversation is if we're truly trying to engage in worship, we have a responsibility as a community. We should help each other in this process, others helping families and families helping others. So if it comes to a part perhaps where we're worried about other people engaging, that might be the clue to consider, now what should I do and what is my role here and how can I best do this perhaps? Maybe that's the way life works in our discipleship, is we're constantly
that's
saying,
great.
How do I do this?
Yeah.
What's the balance?
And I think we change. I don't, you know, one Sunday might be different than another Sunday, and we just keep working and keep the goal in mind that we're here to worship. We're here to draw closer to God. And how do I do that? And how do I help others do that? And how do I help my children do that?
That's excellent. I was reading that Cheerios, they sell $200 million worth of Cheerios every year. And I was wondering if the largest portion of that is purchased by Latter-day Saints for sacrament worship. Any thoughts on ways to engage young children that may be different than just feeding them, just doing things like that? Any thoughts on that?
You know, I remember my son finally one day just drawing the line and saying no more food because he felt like it actually caused more disruption and more irreverence than just going and sitting there and cold turkey trying to help these children. And yet I've seen others that make it work and they don't scatter them all over the chair. They keep it together. And here again, I just think it's individual, and we need to be careful not to judge what others do because we all come at different levels and stages of faith and growth, and we're all learning.
That's a good point. And if we're fellow worshipers, we are helping each other in mm-hmm. the main goal, which is truly to worship. Mm-hmm. I have been learning so much, and unfortunately, like so many things, when you learn good things, you run out of time and you think, you know, we need actually an afternoon to keep on talking about this. And I'm sure there are families that they would have many questions that they would love to ask you and to be able to get your help and advice. We just have a couple of minutes left. And so if you were to say, here's one thing that I would hope that families would understand and would be able to do in their worship, what would you tell them if you just had a family with young children, primary age children, saying, here's what I hope would happen? What would you say, Sister Stephen?
Well, you know, I think the objective really so beautifully lines up with what we're trying to do in primary. And so we understand we're there to know our and feel our Heavenly Father's love and to worship Him and the Savior and to feel His Spirit, you know. And so what we're trying to do in primary is really the same thing we're trying to do as we worship in church together. And if we can keep that in mind, that children really are capable of doing that, and try to make it a feeling of love for our Heavenly Father and a desire to connect with Him and to feel His Spirit and to learn the gospel as we participate in sacrament meeting as well as prepare for covenants.
Great. Thank you. Sister Esplin?
Well, I think in addition to what Sister Stevens has said, I would just add that we're just trying to be consistent. We're trying to create an opportunity for children to feel loved, to feel the Spirit in a happy, peaceful way that they'll want to keep coming back and that it'll be a pattern that they will want to continue the rest of their lives and then continue into their own homes.
That's so great. I think you probably would agree, what I've learned from you, agree with me on this can be done. This can be done, and parents can do this experience. Families can enjoy the worshiping experience, and those 3 hours actually should not be drudgery, but should be a joyful experience to come mm-hmm. closer together as a family and to the Savior.
Yes.
And I think that I would just add to what you have said is to families just to encourage them to keep the course and do the best that they can. And the nice thing is I remember feeling overwhelmed as a father. Maybe things may not change drastically, but I changed and I got better and I learned and my children were learning. And it was a wonderful and is a wonderful experience to worship together in a community of those who believe in the Savior. We appreciate your help on this and continued help. I think that the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's one of the best parts, is it provides continual inspiration and guidance in doing what we do in worshiping and finding our way to principles of truth. You have been listening to The Mormon Channel. This is a program on gospel solutions for families. Today we have been discussing family worship or worship with children in a church setting, and we have been joined with Sister Jean A. Stevens and Sister Cheryl A. Esplin, members of the Primary General Sunday School Presidency. I'm Matthew Richardson, counselor in the Sunday School General Presidency, and we are grateful that you have joined us today.